it's just incredible to me because people don't want to pick up the Bible, and it's by choice. God gave every human being free will. Our desire when Jim and I were first saved, I was almost 50 years old. Jim was. He was 51. We wanted to know what God said in the Bible. So we got in the Bible. We stayed there. It was confusing at first. We didn't understand it. But because we stayed there, the Old Testament started making sense with the New Testament and the New Testament with the Old Testament. I first learned about Jesus in the Old Testament. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." The God that created the heaven and the earth is Jesus. How did I know that? Because in John chapter 1, verse 3, it says that everything that was created by Jesus, and nothing was created without him. So that let me know in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, who Jesus is. He is God, the Creator. Now, most people don't even know that. They don't know that Jesus is in Genesis 1:1. But if you'll get in the Bible, if you'll read it, I promise you, somewhere along the line, you will come out of the apostate church. A believer will no more sit under a lie than anything in this world. That's why Jim and I, we don't go to a church. We have not found a church in this city where we live. The population is 3,800 people, and there's many, many churches. We have not found one church that does not preach a lie.
Mary, speaking of preaching a lie, it says in, just look this up, Revelation chapter 22, verse 15, For outside the heavenly city, for without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie.
Yeah.
That's sobering.
Yeah, it is sobering. And you know, Lisa, when I read these scriptures, it hit home to me because not only do I not want to be separated from God for all eternity, I don't want to go to hell. I have read about hell many, many times as I've gone through this Bible. Hell is a bottomless pit. It's completely dark. It's hot. It's very hot. There's no water there. Think about this. A bottomless pit. There is no place for a person to put their foot down. So they must be floating all the time in this bottomless pit, miserable. And it's just incredible. Ever since I read about hell, I don't want anyone to go there. But for the people who are taught once saved, always saved, they have no fear. They have no fear of God. They have no fear of the Word of God. They have been taught a lie. They chose to believe it. And they passed that lie on. The only way to put a stop to the lie of once saved, always saved, is to get into the Bible and see what God says versus what man says. Now, if you are truly saved, yes, indeed, you have eternal security. But there are conditions from God that go along with eternal security. You must be obedient to the Word of God. Now, because I am saved, the works that I do because I want other people to know what I know. I want them to know how important it is to pick the Bible up. Because you are saved, you do works not to get into heaven, but to try to lead other people to Christ, to encourage them. You know, once you're saved, if you must go to a church, at least pick up the Bible and read it while you're there. I always tell people, if you must go to a church, if you will read the Bible all the time that you're in that church, somewhere in the time that you're there, it might be a year down the road, 6 months down the road, you will hear a false teaching come out of that pastor's lips. A pastor anymore who preaches full gospel is so rare. But how are you going to know he's preaching full gospel if you're not in the Word of God? Now, we stand accountable for what we believe, for what we think, for what we share, and for the person who shares the Word of God, it better be the truth. There's a lot of warning. God is, he says, woe to the pastors who lead the sheep astray, you know. It is crucial for a person to get into the Word of God so you won't be deceived. And I just ask people, please, pick up the Bible, stay in it, and read it.
Think of the conditional.
It's in Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 1, is just one of the verses. Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Now, he has lots and lots of warnings about false teachers, false preachers, anyone who will take the Bible and twist it or omit a sentence, move a comma, anything that changes the Word of God. You must go to Revelation. For those of you who don't know about this, Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 and 19. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. Verse 19, and if any man shall take away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book.
Mary, may I give you an example of a famous pastor who did take away out of a verse, and it's destroying people's souls today. His name is he was pastor of church. His name is Cyrus Scofield. In Romans 8:1, in his study Bible, he says that, I'll read the verse and I'll tell you the part that Scofield says is not even in the Bible. He said the men added it. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So the conditional part of that verse, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, Scofield said in his study Bible, that was interpolated or added to the Scriptures, and God didn't really have that in the Bible. Why? Because it shows you the conditional nature of being in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
You're walking after the Spirit, not after the flesh. So that's just one example, a famous example, in my opinion, a famous man. Who studied Bible, it teaches once saved, always saved, and changed the whole church.
Years ago, I heard Jerry Farwell say, I cut my teeth on the Scofield Bible. When I heard him say that, I turned him off. I never turned him back on, never listened to him again, because I know the Scofield Bible is King James Bible, but it's his commentary that will send the person's soul to hell. Up here, you're having the Word of God, but down here, people will say, well, I don't understand it. So they go down and they read the commentary, which is opposite of what the Scripture says. For instance, let's use pre-trib teaching here. The Bible clearly says, it's true that no man knows the hour or the day that Jesus will return. But if you'll go to Matthew chapter 24, read it all to keep it in context. But in verses 29 and 30, it tells you when Jesus will come back. Immediately after, circle the word after, the tribulation of those days. Now that's when Jesus is coming back. We don't know that that's going to be next Monday at 2:00. We don't know if that's going to be 10 years down the road. We don't know when. But it tells us when Jesus is coming back, immediately after the tribulation of those days. Scofield, he just teaches, that's a lie to start with. He teaches pre-trib. Pre-trib, the rapture teaches three comings of Christ. There's only two. He came first to be born as a child, to live and to die for our sins. He now sits at the right hand of God the Father. Now he's going to come back. That's the second coming. I've only found two places in the Bible where it talks about the second coming, and there may be more. I'm still going through the Bible. I'm still learning. God is still showing me things. But there is no secret rapture. We have, when Jim and I heard about pre-trib, we wanted to know what it was. The preacher's wife explained that pre-trib means, the rapture means that Jesus can come back at any minute. And I said out of ignorance, wow, that's what I am. That's what I want to be. So Jim and I, as baby Christians, we got into the Bible. The first time we went through the Bible, we looked at each other, and both of us said, it's not there. The pre-trib teaching is just not there. And 95-plus times later, it's still not there. Once saved, always saved, it's not there. These are false teachings. The only way you're going to know this is to get into the Word and see for yourself. You can't take the word of a preacher who was never taught the truth. You have to get into the Bible to see for yourself. Make it your final authority. Choose it over what man teaches. If you're, you know, we're talking about your soul and where it's going to spend all eternity. In my case, I'm talking about my soul and where it's going to spend all eternity, and I'm not going to trust my soul with a human being. It's that simple. The Word of God is the most simple thing in the world. For those people who tell me I don't understand it, it's a cop-out. I'll tell you right to your face. I never graduated from high school. I am not a stupid person. By far, I'm not a stupid person. So I can pick up my Bible and I can understand the simple teachings of Christ. There's a lot there that I haven't, that I do not understand. But God is teaching me because I am faithful to pick it up, to read it. My heart's desire is I want to know it all. And I ask God, you teach me. He already knows I'm not going to trust people. So God has taught me what I know today. As a person who lived the life of an alcoholic, a drunk, I had destroyed a lot of my brain. I couldn't remember a lot of things, but when I was saved, I asked God, if you will restore my memory to the point where I can remember Scripture and share it with other people, that's all I ask. And he went way beyond that. And today I can share the Word of God. I didn't set out to memorize it, but because I've been through the Bible so many times, I can tell you verbatim many of the Scriptures. We're to hide the Word of God in our heart that we may not sin against Him. Well, here we go again. If you're once saved, always saved, how can you sin against God? So you have to take the Word of God. Take it for what it says. Don't read anything into it. That's where we get in trouble. People start trying to interpret the Word of God, reading stuff into it, when it just simply says, like, immediately after the tribulation of those days, then you shall see the sign of the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And some people, if she was a school teacher, said, well, immediately doesn't mean immediately. Duh. I think it does. You can't even change a dot, a tittle, a comma. You can't change anything in the Word of God. You can't add to it. You can't take away from it. That gets people in trouble. It gets them to believing a lie. You don't want to believe a lie, folks.